Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with our host, Tom Meglia. Tom is a chartered financial consultant, an accredited estate planner, and holds a Master's of Science in Financial Services. He's got more than 28 years of financial coaching and counseling experience. Tom is also a Crown Ministries budgeting coach, as heard here on the intersection of faith and reason, and is a business and church consultant as well. We would love to hear from you. You can visit theeconomyofgod.com. You can click on for additional resources. You can download podcasts, find past shows, or you can call 800-386-3700. This is a man that knows finances and is seeking the heart of God in those areas. We are continuing a brand new series, and this is the perfect time of year, so we're glad you're along with us. Tom, hi.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Well, let's start with 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Reba, what are the verses?
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, and rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Awesome. That's how we start the program every single week. Because that 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 passage is critical. We know God wrote the Bible, mm-hmm. and we'll find his economy when we read the Bible that he wrote, and therefore understand his reasoning, his thinking, mm-hmm. not any financial advisor like myself, but we'll know what God thinks. So that's what's awesome. Now today, Reba, we're in program number 2 of a 12-week series on the fourth anchor of God's economy, which is contentment. And so let's start with the verses and the scripture reading. If you'll go ahead and tell us what that is, please.
Okay, sure will. Scripture reading for this is 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those that desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful desires, which drown men into destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have wandered from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Wow. That is one heavy passage.
Powerful.
It is. And we talked last week. For a Christian, contentment is one of the most difficult things to ever learn.
Mm.
And it might be the hardest thing for any Christian during their lifetime to learn, to be truly content. And in God's economy, we discuss all the time about the money part of it, mm-hmm. the financial part. How does that come into play?
Mm-hmm.
Well, today's economic principle, Reba, in God's economy is this: great gain is defined as 1 plus 1.
Hmm.
I'll explain. Okay, 1 plus 1 equals 2, right? Or mm-hmm. in this case, 1 plus 1 equals great gain. The first part of this passage says, now godliness with contentment is great gain.
Mm-hmm.
So for a Christian, they need to understand in God's mind, in God's economy, great gain is not big money, lots of money, lots of real estate, heavy duty job title, job position, CEO.
It's not assets plus power equal great gain.
Correct.
That's not it.
That is not it.
Okay.
Not even close. That's the world's for sure.
Yes.
That's Satan's, but that's mm-hmm. not God. What God says is 1 plus 1 equals 2. What's the 1 plus 1?
Mm-hmm.
You'll find it in our scripture reading. Godliness with contentment equals great gain. So what we're saying is money and wealth is not God's recipe for contentment and great gain. Okay, it might be humans, it might be Americans, but it's not God's.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're concerned with in this program, the book, the whole thing, is what God thinks. Not what Tom thinks, not what any financial planner thinks, Wall Street Journal, Money Magazine, mm-hmm. Forbes, Fortune, any other person in the financial field. It doesn't matter what we think. What matters is what God says.
Now, people need to be reminded that the four anchors are God is the owner.
Mm-hmm.
We are the stewards. We need to be cheerful givers. Mm-hmm. And then the one we're talking about today, which is contentment. So it's not that God doesn't want you to have things.
Right.
It's that he doesn't want you to feel like you're the ultimate owner of them.
Right.
And that you're in a position to just hoard them.
Exactly. Otherwise, we'll break Exodus 20, verse 3, which talks about God being our God, no false gods before him. And that is worshiping a false god.
Yeah, it's so easy. Okay. It's so, that's such an easy road to go down.
It is.
That's why so many people have gone down it.
Exactly. And fallen.
Oh, yeah.
And as we'll get into this passage, we notice at the end of this passage, as you read, Reba, love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, not money itself. Money is just paper or metal. It's a currency. Mm-hmm. It's something that you use for exchange, a unit of exchange. But the love of it is the root of all kinds of evil, this passage says, for which some have wandered from the faith in their greediness. That means they had faith, Reba, but they wandered from it.
Wow.
And then what? Pierced themselves through with many griefs and sorrows. Now, what is important here is that the pharaohs tried to take their money with them, their treasures. That's why they were buried with
it. Like King Tut?
Yeah. That's why they were buried with it.
Hmm.
They thought they could take it to the next life. They couldn't.
But they don't, because we see that Tutankhamun traveling museum.
Right.
He didn't take it with him because it comes on display here.
Exactly. Yeah. And Reba, that's how you know with the grave robbers. The grave robbers came and stole and pillaged the tombs of the pharaohs and the pyramids. Why were they able to do that? Because as the passage says, we brought nothing into the world and can take
nothing out.
What we have will be left for someone or something else. The pharaohs tried it, didn't work. They tried it, though.
And they tried pretty hard.
Oh.
And those pyramids are huge.
Well, Reba, they had all kinds of traps and, you know, ways to try to prevent their treasures from being stolen. The bottom line is they didn't take it with them. Paul is right. Mm-hmm. We brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, something to eat, Reba, something to wear, with this we shall be content. I mean, isn't that amazing? Now, here's note number three.
Well, that...
I mean, it's heavy.
It is, especially right now at Christmas time, with only five or so days left to shop for Christmas. It's hard to find contentment in these last days.
It is.
Before Christmas, because you want to get all these gifts, and you want to buy all this stuff, and you want to still decorate your house, and there's all this spending.
Right.
And we think we're giving, but sometimes it's like we're being greedy in our giving.
Absolutely. And we're wondering. We're so concerned about what someone's going to think of our gift. Will they like this gift? What if they don't? Will they tell me if they don't? Will they take it back behind my back and exchange it?
Mm-hmm.
What do they really think of me if I give them this gift?
Spending outside of what you can afford.
Right. Will they like me better? How will they judge me for this gift? Oh, man. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Note three, godliness without contentment, Reba, is legalistic and without joy. Contentment without godliness is about people disconnected from God and his truth and love. You must have both. That's why 1 + 1 = 2. I know people are driving around thinking, Tom's a financial planner and he's adding 1 + 1 = 2. Well, yeah, but look at the concepts we're talking about.
Sure.
Let me try it again, okay? Godliness without contentment is legalistic and without joy. Contentment without godliness is about people disconnected from God and his truth and love. That's why in the first part of 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, it says godliness with contentment is great gain.
Mm.
Notice how Paul doesn't say one or the other is great gain.
Mm-hmm.
One without the other is great gain, Reba. Mm-hmm. He's adding the two together.
Mm.
What do you think of all that?
You know, it makes so much sense. You see people, I mean, you can see it on their face, people that are godly, but that don't have that contentment. It's so hard to be around people like that.
Right. That's exactly right, Reba. Beautifully put. And this is a learned response. We don't just, we're Christians. We just got saved. Now we're content. These are things we have to learn and grow to.
Mm-hmm.
And in finances and money, it's hard to be content when people don't have what they want. Now, Reba, will you read the definitions of contentment and discontentment? So that we can kind of get kind of an identical playing field with everyone as far as people out there defining what contentment is.
What do they mean?
Yeah.
Well, the definition of contentment in the Webster's Dictionary is satisfaction with one's status or material possessions in life. Satisfied with a situation or a freedom of care or discomfort. The state of being contented.
Right.
And then the definition of discontentment is dissatisfaction with your situation, lacking in possessions or material position in life. It's a sense of grievance, restless aspiration for improvement, which is huge. A lot of people have that. Or one who is discontented.
Wow. That's heavy, Reba. And as we come up to the break, I want people to think, Reba, about contentment versus discontentment in their finances and their value and their worth.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, ladies. Reba Tony here. I hope you're enjoying our show today. I want to share with you a great seminar that your host, financial advisor, and money coach, Tom Maglia, will be presenting to women only. And of course, I will be there. I'll be emceeing. The event is called Women of Value, A Woman of Worth, Desiring Excellence in 2007. This is Ladies Only Conference held Saturday, February 3rd, 2007 at Lake Avenue Congregational Church in Pasadena. And the cost, only $65 for the entire day. Tom will be giving us ladies a coaching talk on budgeting and developing a spending plan, along with afternoon discussion on knowing the economy of God based on his new book, Knowing the Economy of God. Lunch is included. And ladies, there's so much more. Women's life coach Michelle Detman will be sharing a godly seminar, Christian women's life coaching tips for ladies of all ages and all marital statuses. Also, Karen Long, a former Emmy-nominated TV reporter, will be speaking on investing in relationships and thoughts about extreme marriage makeover. She's got a new book. It's out. It's called If You Don't Die to Self, I May Have to Kill You. How funny is that? Come listen to Karen give a refreshing view on God and marriage. Call Tom at 800-386-3700 for more information or go to the website and sign up now at www.theeconomyofgod.com. Meet me, Reba Tony, at the seminar. I'll be hosting the entire day along with special worship music that will warm all of our hearts for the Lord. Again, the number is 1-800-386-3700 or go to the website, sign up, get more information details today. That's www.theeconomyofgod.com. We'll see you then.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Maglia.
And we're back, Knowing the Economy of God. Wow, we are just knee deep in contentment.
Yep.
Which is a good place to
be. That's a good place to be,
yeah.
Reba.
Yep.
Now let's talk about application. You know, in our program, Reba, and in the book, Knowing the Economy of God, we talk about identifying the scripture or citing the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
We state the economic principle. Then we talk about application to your normal and everyday life, and then the prayer of change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the kind of life Paul describes, Reba, is about the Christian who understands the firm passing of life and what real joy and contentment is and where it comes from. Jesus Christ.
Now, when you say the passing of life.
Dying.
Okay.
Someday, all of us. Some earlier than others,
mm-hmm.
sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said we bring nothing into the world and can take nothing out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason he says that is because it's a fact. We're all someday going to die,
mm-hmm.
and you won't take anything with you. There's no U-Hauls at funerals because, you know, there's no point in renting one. You're not taking anything with you to the cemetery,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
okay? Things of the world are still here when we pass on. They do not go with us. Contentment is a learned thing, Reba. It's a concept that we learn and respond to in our growth, works in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to test us for growth in character, okay? Because he's concerned about our character following Christ's example. Now, accumulations cannot give us what they are not made to do. Okay, a table can't become an automobile. It's not created to be such a thing. Our character is what God wants to build in us through Jesus Christ as our example, not things, money, clothes, name brand stuff, hot cars, beautiful estates, jewelry. That stuff can't do, Reba, what it can't do.
Mm-hmm.
We must accept God's will in our lives, which is our contentment. If our contentment in our spiritual lives is dependent on things like circumstances or the environment, like a job.
Mm-hmm.
What's your job status or your marital status? There will be instability for the believer. Life will be unstable What's your thought on that?
So what you're saying is that, first off, that contentment is something that we've already decided we're going to have or not have.
That's right. It comes with a decision.
And so...
That's right.
We've made that decision before we ever buy anything new, before we ever run, before we ever, anything gets old, before anything. We've already made that decision of
right.
if we're going to be content or not.
Right. And that happens when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and say, hey.
Or it should.
And it should.
Yeah.
Because we say, okay, I have the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I need. I don't need this beautiful new car. It doesn't mean it's a sin to have the car, Reba. Mm-hmm. But I don't need the car to make me happy.
To be content. But that's very interesting that it's a learned behavior.
It is.
So we're teaching ourselves, our kids, to make either the decision to be or to not be content.
It's critical, Reba. Because,
and so, like, even say you're wealthy, say you're retired,
right.
say life has been good. If you already have a plan of discontentment, it doesn't matter how many games of golf you play.
Right.
What kind of great country club you belong to.
Right.
If you've already planned to be discontent.
Right.
You're not going to be able to buy your way out of it.
Exactly. Beautifully put. In God's economy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Reba, read Philippians 4:13, please.
Oh, this is a good one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Not my bank account, stock portfolio, real estate, net worth. Now, here's my advice, folks. Learn to set the right type of goals.
Hmm.
Compare them with your financial planner to what real wants and needs are and desires.
Mm-hmm.
Then you won't be disappointed if for some reason you don't get those things because your contentment is already in place ahead of time, even if your goals are not attained. It's okay to have goals. It's good. It's good to plan. But if you don't get those goals attained in life, can you still be content not reaching them?
That's good.
And Jesus would say, I'm enough. So how come you're not content?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a question all of us need to answer.
And everybody's situations are different.
Right.
So you can't look to your neighbor or your sister for your contentment.
No.
If I have what they have, I'll be content.
Oh. Well, read with me this next story.
Okay.
Here's a story of a couple I worked with about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just call them Mike and Eileen, not the same names. But they had no contentment in their marriage and in their finances, Reba. They had awful pursuits, terrible pursuits of money, wealth, and other kinds of goals, which really were false gods.
Hmm.
Were they Christians? Yep. And that was based on all kinds of enemy lies that they bought into. Like a fish on a hook, Reba.
Hmm.
They bought the bait of the enemy. Okay? Like this. Wealth equals value and esteem. Mike's career goals of climbing the corporate ladder at his family's expense, Reba. He wasn't with his family. He just said, well... I'll catch up with my family down the road.
Mm.
I got to climb the ladder. I'll catch up to them. Eileen's objectives of keeping up with the Orange County wealthy buddies that she had all these years from her private college, her sorority. And that was her big goal, keeping up with the Orange County buddies. And, you know, she was trying to impress and not lose a step in perception from her buddies, from the others, the so-called crowd.
There's a lot of money in some parts of Orange County. That could be a very challenging task.
It is a challenging task.
To keep up with your Orange County friends.
It is.
Yeah,
but she bit on the enemy's hook, Reba. Okay? And so did he.
Uh-huh.
And they had all kinds of problems in their relationship, mm-hmm. in their marriage. They couldn't agree on any financial goals.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's hard to do any planning. How can a planner help someone when the two people, the couple, are fighting all the time about what their financial goals are?
Wow. And so wrapped up in what other people think, what his company thinks, what her friends think,
right.
what the county thinks.
Exactly.
I mean, you're in deep trouble when you're trying to impress the whole county.
You're in very deep trouble. And more importantly, you have no peace because you're disobeying God.
Mm-hmm.
Reba, peace comes from obedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we have food and clothing, Paul says in Timothy, we shall be content with that.
Wow.
Look, Reba, I've got 3 pairs of shoes. That's plenty. I've got clothes. You know, obviously, I'm eating well. So you can see I haven't lost any weight. You know, I'm enjoying my food. I mean, you know, it's incredible. It's funny in a way because the answer to our problems is right there in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
The money and the net worth can't give you true value.
And, you know, Tom, we have a lot of people listening right now who could testify to that very thing.
Oh, definitely.
They have the money.
Yep.
They have the wealth. They don't have the contentment. and they would gladly trade it all if they thought that they would find contentment.
Well, it takes a risk, though. You have to be able to shift your mind and your heart away from possessions, marital status, job status, and any other kind of status unto Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. Can I pray?
Yeah, you can pray. I was just going to say one thing real quick. Another funny thing is, and it's the thing we don't realize, like to those listeners that do have the money and the wealth and the estate, and they don't have contentment, they think if they switch their focus from their funds to contentment in Jesus,
yep,
that they're going to lose their funds.
Right.
But the funny thing is, God actually multiplies what you have.
Right.
To him who has, more is given.
Exactly.
So when you switch to when you focus on Jesus, all of a sudden you get, you know, the better marriage, the more, you know, the better employees, all of your assets, right, and all of your things start to increase,
yes,
not decrease. And that's what people really need to understand.
That is a beautiful concept in God's economy, Reba. That's why the Bible says the truth will set you free.
Mm.
You're not going to lose all that because you'll have a different perspective and want to bring God glory, not yourself, with the possessions he's placed under you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that if you don't learn contentment. So today is show number two, program number two, on a 12-week series on contentment, Anchor 4. Reba, there's 10 more programs to come.
Wow.
We've only scratched the surface of the iceberg.
Well, to those who are listening today, if you're saying to yourself, I want that contentment, I've had my priorities focused in the wrong place, pray this prayer with Tom.
Lord, help us to be content in you only, Jesus. Nothing else. Marital status, Lord, no. Job and financial status, no way. Help us to find our contentment in you, Jesus, like Paul instructs us. Thank you, Lord. Give us your blessing today to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, great message, contentment. It's something we all need, especially concerning our finances. You need a financial planner. You need to plan for retirement, plan for your children's education, reduce tax liability, invest in special situations, and most of all, you need to be able to find contentment. Tom is a financial planner with the heart of God. He is truly seeking God, and he wants to put his 28 years of experience to work for you. Call Tom. The first appointment is free. You can get in and get a consultation with him. You can make 2007 the best year ever. Call 800-386-3700 or visit theeconomyofgod.com. We'll see you next week.
Listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.
Hi, ladies. Reba Tony here. I hope you're enjoying our show today. I want to share with you a great seminar that your host, financial advisor, and money coach, Tom Meglia, will be presenting to women only. And of course, I will be there. I'll be emceeing. The event is called Women of Value, A Woman of Worth, Desiring Excellence in 2007. This is Ladies Only Conference held Saturday, February 3rd, 2007 at Lake Avenue Congregational Church in Pasadena. And the cost, only $65 for the entire day. Tom will be giving us ladies a coaching talk on budgeting and developing a spending plan, along with afternoon discussion on knowing the economy of God based on his new book, Knowing the Economy of God. Lunch is included. And ladies, there's so much more. Women's life coach Michelle Detman will be sharing a godly seminar, Christian women's life coaching tips for ladies of all ages and all marital statuses. Also, Karen Long, a former Emmy-nominated TV reporter, will be speaking on investing in relationships and thoughts about extreme marriage makeover. She's got a new book. It's out. It's called If You Don't Die to Self, I May Have to Kill You. How funny is that? Come listen to Karen give a refreshing view on God and marriage. Call Tom at 800-386-3700 for more information, or go to the website and sign up now at www.theeconomyofgod.com. Meet me, Reba Tony, at the seminar. I'll be hosting the entire day along with special worship music that will warm all of our hearts for the Lord. Again, the number is 1-800-386-3700, or go to the website, sign up, get more information details today. That's www.theeconomyofgod.com. We'll see you then.